I want to tell you an astounding story that actually happened 5 years ago. I was counseling. I counsel every Thursday at my church. We have a counseling ministry to the community. It's free. We don't charge for that. And I had a full day of counseling. And the secretary came and said there was a family that called, a mother that called and said her 15-year-old daughter is not eating or drinking and won't talk to them. And they were just in a desperate situation. And I said, well, tell them to come at my lunch break. I just wanted to see her. And I figured she's anorexic, and they maybe just need to go to the emergency room. So they came, and the parents were at their wits' end. The girl was frail and weak. Her parents had to sort of help her get up and just kind of walk her and sit her down. And it was, and the mother and father filled out the forms that we have there so I would know something. So I'm alarmed when I see her, and she was obviously sick. She was obviously going to die if something didn't turn around. She had gotten to the state where her mother had to take her to the bathroom, take her back to the bed, bathe her, and she would not look at me. She would not talk to me. She would not talk to her family, and she had no expression on her face. She was in a catatonic state, and the only reason that the parents could come up with for this situation was that the girl was worried about her salvation. Well, I didn't think that was all that this was to it, you know, but I didn't know. I didn't know what was going on. Let me give you some history. Ruth was 15 years old. She was very smart, very smart. She was homeschooled. She was advanced for her grade. She was very artistic. She could draw. She could paint. She was number 8 out of 10 children. She was quiet and very compliant child. She was a perfectionist. And she was a very pretty girl. Now, she didn't look pretty when I first initially saw her. But, you know, she was a pretty girl. The mother filled out the forms. She said the main problem is to recover from anorexia and work through other conflicts immobilizing my daughter. And then the question is, well, what have you done to try to resolve the problem? She said, we've prayed, we've fasted, we've gone over scripture, we have tried to reason with Ruth. And then, what issues do you want resolved? And she put eating, schoolwork, because she was not functioning, she was doing nothing, withdrawing, uncertainty in deciding what is right, God's will. And then, what do you want us to do? And she said, to resolve the above, or at least make progress to restore a normal function level. Well, the parents were terrified, and so was I. I didn't tell them that, but I was. It says, as you see yourself, what kind of person are you? And the mother wrote, I see her up till the recent crisis as capable, taking initiative, loving, giving, kind, excelling in all she does, wanting to please God and obey the scriptures. And then the question was, is there anything, any other information we should know? And the mother wrote, she seems immobilized by fear of being wrong and indecision, seems to believe that there is some question on which all this is based, which she must decide, but she's not sure that God wants her to tell it. They took her to her pediatrician. He did a complete physical. Everything was normal. He couldn't find anything like that. So when you have anorexia, you have an emergency. And this was a double emergency, especially because she wouldn't talk to us, and she was in bad shape by the time they brought her. So I divided her phases of counseling. I'm just calling them different medical categories that show her progress. I'm starting out with working with her, and I call this phase gravely ill. And that's the first several sessions. I gathered data from the parents. Their best guess was she was fearful about her salvation. Seemed to me that there must be more to that than this, but I didn't know. I could not tell if Ruth could hear me or she was listening to me. So this is when you talk to somebody by faith and not by sight. I just had to assume she could listen and she could hear me. And even though I was very disturbed by how she looked and was acting, I pretended like this was routine and stayed calm and matter of fact. I talked to Ruth. I asked her questions, and I told her she had to answer me. Now, she didn't do that, but I told her that she did. I said, Ruth, what has happened? Why are you so upset? Why are you afraid to tell us? We can help you. I can help you if you will tell me. The Lord will help you. You know, I can help you with that. Has anyone hurt you in any way? Nothing. I mean, she wouldn't even look at me. What's wrong? Were you sexually molested? I was, you know, have you been raped? Has something terrible happened? And then instructions to the parents. And then I did this in front of Ruth. I didn't do it behind her back. Ruth's mother was to be her advocate and come to each session. She did that. I mean, Ruth couldn't possibly have come. And she wouldn't talk to me, so I needed somebody to talk to. So the mother came. The mother, I told her, I want you to take detailed notes. I want you to go over and over things that I have said to her when you were at home. And that very first session, because we have a medical as well as spiritual emergency on our hands, I came up with some emergency trigger thoughts for her to think when she is to eat or drink something. The mother wrote them all down. I gave her medical instructions. She must have an appointment with a psychiatrist to get his or her opinion. Now, the parents pushed back on that. That's not what they wanted. They were afraid of that, which I do understand. But I was like, I don't know if she's had a psychotic break. I want his opinion. And I said, and if she gets so weak and dehydrated, you're going to have to take her to the ER. They are going to call Family and Children's Services on you if you don't have a psychiatric appointment. They're going to think you're crazy if you don't. I said, take her to the ER if she gets weak or lethargic or dehydrated. Better to be safe than sorry. If you need to call 911, call 911. The paramedics will assess her and help you. I said, I've got to have permission to talk to all of her doctors.